What a different mood we're in than we thought we were going to be in about half an hour ago. I was dreading this podcast at one stage this evening, but what a result in the end. I don't really know how to start this. I'm contractually obliged to mention that this podcast is sponsored by NordVPN. That's as professional as this podcast will probably be. There's a link to that in the description down below. I'm exhausted after that. I feel like I've just played that 120 minutes to you.
I'm still shaky.
It's weird, isn't it?
That was unreal. I'm also impressed that clearly before the match, Emery has sent the players out under strict instructions that anybody caught sprinting will get fined. So we've consequently just walked through 120 minutes of football and then, you know, casually won on penalties.
Honestly, not a great podcast. I will start from the off. And the post-match has always been about the vibes and the emotions, and you'll get plenty of that this evening. But in terms of a structured show, where to start, I've got no bloody idea where to go. Is it worth talking about the individual circumstances that happened during the game, the different moments? I'm not massively sure. It's just all on that penalty shootout, and we'll start backwards and just see where we go, I suppose. I mean, the emotions of that. Like, I remember last year qualifying for Europe and in the summer about it's only the Conference League and all this kind of stuff. It means something, doesn't it? We all feel it now, don't we?
Of course it does. And I think especially because we're seeing all the other English teams falling down around us.
Yes.
And I think on tonight's performance, you can see why. I think the commentators mentioned at one point that it was our 49th game of the season so far or something. Lille got the weekend off. We've gone and played away at one of the best teams in Europe.
Mm.
So and there is, them. Yeah, and beat them. And there's, and we've done the same again tonight. You know, albeit you know over 120 minutes, we may have lost, but it was, you know, that make no bones about it. They're a good team. They are a good team. They won the league 3 years ago, and we've turned up there in their backyard, exhausted, 49 games into the season, and still put them to bed. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, haven't we, about being... Honestly, I can't catch my breath. I've run up the stairs, but I feel the adrenaline of a penalty shootout. It's weird. I was thinking about this before, like with the opportunity that this could go to penalties. I don't think I've seen a Villa penalty shootout apart from the semi-final in the playoffs. I think that's the only one. And that was mad. That was nervy to watch because, again, there was so much riding on it, you know, promotion to the Premier League at stake with trying to get to the playoff final. But this one's... had such a strange vibe about it. Watching the match from home, like again, we're going to go all over the place here. But I messaged my dad halfway through to ask who the commentator was because I knew it wasn't Clive Tyldesley, but it sounded like Clive Tyldesley.
Yeah.
And just watching the game, it felt like an international. It had like this weird vibe of it. Like this is proper now. This is like a World Cup knockout game. I don't know. It just felt really different. Like it's all on this. We're away. We can't really do anything because we're not there. It's weird being away in the second leg, and it's all on this. And for the large part of the game, we're crap. And I'm thinking, oh no, it's all going to come to a head. And we've put so much into Arsenal that we're now going to go out of Europe in the quarterfinals. And this feels like England at a tournament. So much hype. So much. Oh, they're the favourites, and then you know, flatter to deceive. And when the going gets tough, they fold a little bit, and that's fully where I was expecting this podcast to go. And oh, what a disappointment. We can still go for fourth, I guess, but to go in the quarterfinals and to change it on a knife edge like that and win on penalties thanks to one of the best or the best goalkeeper in the world with his antics, the kind of ghost yellow card, which we'll talk about in a sec.
Yeah.
They're throwing things at him from the home fans. Just it had a bit of everything that tie. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't nice, but it had a bit of everything.
It was a proper European away match. I mean, you're showing how young you are there, mate, by saying you can't really recall penalty shootouts because I was there for Inter Milan.
Yeah,
Tranmere. You know, they're horrible. Seeing them little kids in the stadium crying afterwards, I could totally get it. And you know,
no one in this household was laughing at that. Nobody.
And that, by the way, is something else that I text you during the match. I haven't said, like, what was the producer doing during the game? I haven't seen that many French children since I was reading the Tricolore books at school. It was unbelievable. Just every opportunity, a close-up of a French child. But yeah, I mean, I think going into it, you'd always hope with the pedigree and the history that Martinez has got that you think, you know, surely he's going to do it. But, you know, I think we've seen it a bit before, perhaps with Brad Guzan, where he had a couple of good penalty shootouts and then not really anymore. Whereas Martinez really is all over it. You know, it's just incredible to watch. And people talk about his antics and whatever else. I don't really think that's got anything to do with it. That's, you know, just roils up the atmosphere. But there was no antics before that first penalty, and he saved it.
I don't want to come across as, I was like, oh, we know what was going to happen. But everything we said in the preview, we kind of called how it might go. This could be difficult, and it's going to be one of the best attendances at their stadium. They're going to be up for it. You've got the kind of ultras mentality. It's a European away game. It's going to be difficult. Again, as much as we've talked a lot about Villa being the favourites, Villa-Lille is probably one of the best clashes in the tournament tree to come up against each other. And that's probably a future. So I'm sure I've seen this somewhere else. That's probably a future Champions League. Tie Villa and Lille, like that's the trajectory of where these clubs are heading. Yeah, possibly next season. So I've been distracted by the comments. I don't know where I was going to go, but
I'll jump in for you. So I think the atmosphere was incredible, and I think that added to the feeling that it was a proper European night. I think playing a team that, you know, they're a big, good side. Probably most Villa fans aren't over familiar with them. I'd imagine most of us don't watch a lot of Ligue 1, so you get that sense of mystery about them. They've got that horrible right back who spent most of the two matches diving all over the place and waving yellow cards at the referee. But equally, you know, I'd have him at Villa Park next season. He certainly looks like he's a good footballer with it. You know, it really did. It had everything that you would hope for from a European tie. And I think some of the earlier games in the competition, just they didn't have that bite. I think people talk about we're at the business end of things now, and we really are in terms of this competition.
I remembered what I was going to say. We called it in the preview that it was going to be difficult, one of those kind of things. But then John randomly at the end said, who's your five penalty takers? And I was like, oh no, yeah, penalties. We knock out football now. This is a thing. The five that we listed is not the five that stepped up. Yeah. But we both said, if we are to progress in a penalty shootout, it's because of the goalkeeper as much as it is the forward players or the midfielders having to take the penalties. Emi Martinez is going to have to save at least one, possibly two. So for him to do that and save the first and obviously the last, it's just unbelievable. And I don't want to kind of get ahead of myself. Oh, that's how you win tournaments, because we've still got a very difficult semi to come and obviously the finals to get through as well. Although I do feel a little bit about this competition in a similar way that I did about the playoff final, that getting to the final is the hard bit. I think if we get there, not that it's a formality, but the difference was when we got to the final for the championship, I was like, well, beat Derby. The difficult bit was getting to there, and I feel the same about the Conference League. Like getting past Leo was such a difficult task. Getting past, I don't know who it is yet, obviously Olympiacos or Fenerbahce, that's going to be difficult over two legs. But if you get there, kind of feel confident then in a roundabout way. But we're going to have to rely on Martinez, and it's those kind of big game players in big game moments where Villa don't play well, but he steps up to kind of save the day. That goes on to help you win tournaments and qualify for these big competitions.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games where you'd think that you couldn't write it, you couldn't make it up. But I actually think Emi Martinez could have written that. If he was writing the script for a game, absolutely, him getting booked twice, coming out the hero, saving the first, not the second and the third penalties, the first one and the last one. Mm. You know, every bit about it was just textbook Emi Martinez. And as has been the case a few times recently, he's bang at it when we need him. You can see why Argentina are winning competitions at last with him in the team, because when it starts getting a bit sketchy, you know, he is absolutely all over. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, let's talk about his yellow cards specifically before we mention the referee as a whole afterwards. Obviously, he gets booked in something like the 30th minute off the top of my head, certainly in the first half anyway, for time wasted, which feels like, okay, is that partly his reputation that's gone against him, or is it genuine that he's been time wasting? Because that feels a little bit extreme to me to book a goalkeeper in that early in the game. But I suppose you would argue, well, the referee then sets the precedent. He's not allowing that. He stamped it out early. So in that sense, fair play to him. The bit at the end, getting booked. Well, before that, in fact, there was a part right towards the end, 118th minute or whatever, where it comes back to Emi and he knows he can pick it up, but he just stands on the ball for, I don't know, 30 seconds or something, waiting for them to come. Then he picks it up and walks around with it for well over the time that they're allowed to hold it. And I'm thinking, I was like really antsy at that point. I was thinking, you dare get sent off now for a second yellow before the penalties because we're going to need you, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
To then get the booking for the second penalty, I think, or his second penalty to come up and save, to get booked in that, and the commentators don't even know what's going on. They're kind of going, why is it Martinez being sent off? What are the rules here? And I'm thinking, well, if they don't know, then does anyone know? My initial thing was, surely you can't send off a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout because...
I think the commentators did mention at one point when I, in between my screams and telling the missus how much I was shaking and my hands were sweating, sounded like the start of an Eminem song. I think that they said that yellow cards during a match don't carry over into a penalty shootout. It's like treated as a separate thing. But
could you, in theory, get two yellow cards in a shootout and be sent off as a goalkeeper?
Potentially, yeah. I don't know. And it seems, of all the things to potentially book him for as well, it was just...
A nothingness,
Like you said, we probably could just go on to the referee. He enjoyed his big night, didn't he, the ref? He had a right old time out there.
Every single foul was a yellow card. Some of them weren't even fouls. I don't know how many the total was in the end, but it's got to be near double figures, if not over. And we've managed to get through our... kind of the amnesty of a suspension for the first semi by the three players that were up. Was it Diaby, McGinn and Cash, I think, that were a booking away from being suspended for the semi?
It was about five, the commentators.
Was it? So for them not to be one of the ones that get the yellow is a miracle considering how many there were.
Totally.
What is it with these referees? Like, the obvious thing is, they want to be centre of attention or whatever. Part of you wants to say, maybe they just want to stamp their authority on the game early, which you kind of say, all right, fair enough. But then they lose control so quickly and the game gets away from them. The amount of times he blows up and he's running over and he's already reaching for it. So just have a tight moment, thinking.
Instead of pulling it out when he gets there or deciding if he's going to. I think they do seem, a lot of these referees, overawed by the occasion. I mean, was it the Ajax away match
was as bad,
and the referee was from like refs in the Albanian league or something. Normally it was, you know, just absolutely way out of his depth. But I think in general, the biggest issue, and we see it in the Premier League every week, is consistency. It's like, okay, well, you know, you've booked Luca Dina for putting his foot in on the right back, and then the same things happen the other way around, and he's not booked.
It's mad.
Player, and it's so
there was an element that comes with that you feel like things are getting away from you a little bit, for Emery and Fonseca to both get booked as well, a bit of an altercation, that even Emery's a little bit antsy and giving it a bit back, which is so unlike him, that I tweeted at one stage during the game, like, I'm really not enjoying this, and then I followed up with something like uncharacteristically reckless or something like that. Like, it wasn't the usual Villa that we're used to, that we were kind of losing our heads a little bit. And that's pressure, I suppose. That's fatigue. It's whatever. But to ultimately come through all of that and win last chance saloon in the penalty shootout in those circumstances kind of writes off everything that precedes it, doesn't it? It doesn't matter that we played rubbish. We got through. And that's ultimately what it was all about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think we got through without any injuries, without any suspensions. Yeah. Although they've played 120 minutes, be hard to say that anybody's really had to bust a gut over the course of the game. I thought the concert was absolutely magnificent in the centre of defence. He made one hooky pass in the second half that could have got us into trouble. But I thought other than that, he was incredible. And considering Jonathan David's supposed to be one of the quickest strikers in Europe or the world, and there was twice that the commentators seemed to almost be willing him to display how quick he was. And Konsa went with him and beat him to the ball. Or, you know, I thought he had a great game. I thought the same with Pau Torres. He's just cool head and distribution. And I think some of these are coming up for me, because I was sitting there when we were 2-0 down thinking, right, I've got to go and try and talk about this afterwards. And I don't want to just be negative. What are the positives? So I was sitting there thinking, well, it'd be nice to win a trophy, but even if you win it, you only qualify for the Europa League, which is now
the
position we could be in next season anyway. And we've got to learn. It's a big experience for some of the players, whether that's Morgan Rogers through to Konsa, through to Watkins, playing in that sort of atmosphere against that level of team. I mean, Ajax was a big stadium and loud and whatever, but they're not, you know, they're not a patch on Lille in terms of a football team at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think now all those positives are now added to the fact that, and we've won a penalty shootout and we've salvaged the game right at the end and we've got through to the semi-finals of a European competition. Yes, Villa fans, I did just say that. We've got through to the semi-finals of the European competition.
Yeah, 11 yellows in total, 7 for Villa, 4 for Lille. I don't know whether that counts. Martinez is 2. I've just asked John, does he know if he's banned? Because all the comments are saying, is Martinez now banned with 2 yellows? I don't know, but I don't think so. I think that would have been mentioned already by now somewhere more official than this podcast, if that was true. I think any previous yellow cards are wiped out for the semis, and then any suspensions. I think that's it now. I think even if you get 2 bookings in both semis, I don't think you can miss the final through a yellow suspension. If you get a straight red, it's probably different. I'm guessing at this point, so let's skate over that, because I don't actually know. If I hear back from John while we're still on air, he will obviously find out. He's there. He will ask.
I wouldn't be surprised if that referee does a John Terry and just comes on the pitch in his kit in the final and just starts booking people at random.
Getting distracted by the comments, so I was going to make a different point. Now I saw the comments about, is he banned or not, and it's took my mind away from what I was going to talk about. I don't know.
If you had a sent off, who would you have put in goal?
I think it probably would have been
substitution.
You can't make a substitute. Could you not bring an actual keeper on?
No, of course not. It's a penalty shootout.
I didn't even think of that. That's what I mean. Like, surely sending off a keeper in a shootout is so counterproductive. Wow. What is the point even that being an option anyway? So I don't know.
Right, he's gone. What are we going to do now? And straight away, I'm just thinking, right, John Duran, absolutely got to be. He's a lunatic. Oh. God. It's exactly what you'd want. You'd save all of them, guarantee it. Just as soon as he came on, it's like, right, tactics out the window, unleash chaos.
This is the way we've got to the point of this podcast now, suggesting that John Duran would have come on and not only come on and done a job, but saved every single one.
But equally, I think he came on and it shows the evolution of him as a player, because he didn't get booked, which is remarkable.
He did, didn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure he went down at some point.
He did, yeah, for that thing where he should now for going over their player. All right, so he did get, but he didn't deserve it. and he just seemed to be popping up in defence a lot. He was almost playing as a midfielder at times, which previously I just wouldn't have expected that. You'd think, right, Ollie's going to have to do the running and Duran will just stay up front. And it just speaks to why we're fourth in the league and why we're in a European semi-final, because the way these players have come on, Morgan Rogers, you know, let's not forget, we're playing for Man City reserves this time last year. Mm-hmm. You know, never mind about playing in the Championship. And he's coming into a game like that and not looking out of place at all.
Yeah, and coming on in circumstances that he wouldn't have expected to. Obviously, Zaniolo going off relatively early, I suppose, through injury. I remember the point I was going to mention. It's funny you say about, like, you know, the positives, or clinging to a positive of, like, oh, well, maybe we didn't need it anyway kind of thing, because winning the Conference League only gets you Europa League status, which, worst case scenario in the Premier League, we're going to finish in a Europa League position. So what's the point? We had exactly the same tweet / YouTube comment earlier this afternoon saying, well, now fifth place is pretty much wrapped up for Villa and your Europa League as a minimum. Is there much point prioritising the Conference League anymore, or should it all just be going into finishing fourth? And at that point, it's like, well, and still now, I get the point. Yes, it can only get Europa League, but it's about a trophy, isn't it? Now, it's not. If you were mid-table, you'd be going, well, this is our route back into Europe. Like, if you were Newcastle this season, probably not. Well, actually, they might now. Chelsea, well, they might. Whoever it is, somebody who's not going to finish in the top 7, who was still in this, you'd be thinking, well, that's our route to Europe next year. For us, this isn't our route to Europe, because we're going to finish in at least those positions anyway, hopefully the Champions League positions. But it's all about silverware, the Conference League now. Even if it wasn't already, it's all just about winning and lifting the trophy. That is purely what this is about now. It's not about what this achieves for us and the bits of prize money. It's about the pride of being a trophy winner, the first trophy in my lifetime, that I will remember anyway. Like, I was months old when we last won our proper trophy. So to win a trophy is what this is all about. Forget what it means for us in terms of next season. It's about lifting the silverware. And to me, this feels like one of the most difficult hurdles. I think the semi-final will be easier than Lille. And I think the final will be easier as well. The getting there is the hard bit, as I said before.
Yeah, well, I think, yes, you're right. It is about silverware. And it's also, I think, so much of what Emery's instilling into the club, not just the players, is good habits. We don't make excuses, good habits. And winning trophies, winning football matches, winning trophies is a habit. And things have changed from the days of putting 16, 17-year-olds into the League Cup and whatever else. You know, you look at the likes of Guardiola showing up, and he wants to win every competition he's in. Yeah. And that's
what we've
got to take. It's like, oh, you're tired, are you? You've played 49 matches. Get on with it.
Well, that's a privilege, really, because we went out so early in both domestic cups. We should have played 53, 54 games by this point already, if not more, to go. We should be going all the way to the FA Cup final and everything. We should be going hell for leather for as many competitions as possible. Yes, you could argue we don't have the capabilities in terms of squad depth and whatnot. And I don't want this to be a negative of like, oh, we haven't won the League Cup this season because we're having an unbelievable season. When you said then to be chasing top four and being in a European Cup, a European Cup, not the European Cup semi-final. Whatever happens now, that's an unbelievable achievement. But we're so close to actually achieving something.
Yeah.
If you finish fourth and we win the Conference League, like I know John said once about like what are our limits? Like is this the best we can do? And for right now, that's the maximum this season could have been. I don't think we could have finished any higher than fourth. And you can't do any better than winning the competition that you're in. So we're performing or en route to hopefully be performing at maximum capacity for this season. To finish fourth and win this trophy is the best we could have done. And when you consider all the hurdles that we've had along the way in terms of injuries, bad results that you wouldn't expect, I mean, the injuries that are in the sense of even Matty Cash is back, but Moreno's injured. Like, even just little things like that all the way through the season, there's always something, isn't there? The fact that we've been able to navigate all the way through that and have got to this point, and we're now so close to, you know, achieving something tangible. It's special, isn't it? This is a special season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'd have come on this show after the Newcastle match, first game of the season, and said, right, don't worry about it, go to the final of the Conference League and we'll be fourth with four or five games left to go. You know, I'd have been like,
you're never coming on again because you're talking about
this. I'd have this crackpot on. Look at the comments. you know, just... That I think that's it. I mean, rewind a bit further. Go back to getting hammered at Fulham and Nassef Sawiris tying Steven Gerrard to the back of the coach and dragging him away at the M6 or whatever happened. you know, it just feels like a lifetime ago compared to
what we're
seeing. And I think for me as a fan, I think when we were 2-0 down, it was easy to slip into that comfy old pair of slippers that was telling me, like, this is it. This is just what Villa do. This isn't going to hurt because I'm used to it now. You know, I'm used to getting that punch in the gut just when things are supposed to start going well. And it's not the punch in the gut isn't, it's not just it hasn't happened yet. It's not coming. And even if we lose the semi-final, even if we finish fifth, well, there's next season. It's not so many times we've been in these sorts of positions and it's felt like, well, this is our only chance. This is it. If we don't do this, then Man City will sign all our players and the manager will walk out the day before the season starts or whatever. And it's not. This is get used to this. Get used to how this feels, this tension, this anxiety, this excitement, because this is it. This is what being a Villa supporter is going to be about now.
I said something similar after Arsenal or before Arsenal. I can't remember. It's been a mad few weeks, but I said something like, we've got to change I'm only saying this to you, Rob, because obviously everyone else has already listened, but we have to change our mentality of this kind of like classic Villa, like a typical Villa to throw it away. I don't think that's what we are anymore under Emery, as you just said. This is a new breed. This is judge us on what we're doing now, not what we used to do 10 years ago. And I've got a crap record against them because we always have. Well, things change. This is a different beast that we're dealing with here, and long may it continue.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you're right. And it is that. I've never been one for these statistics of Villa haven't beat so-and-so away since 1974. It's like, well, it's not the same players that have been trying every single time. Is it they don't have long careers like darts players or something?
Yeah. You know,
so it's not a era.
It's all right. Can we have a shout-out for Leon Bailey, who's somebody that we've, on the podcast, I'm going back a year or more now, that we've criticised, and he's obviously had a resurgence this season, more than a brilliant season, to come on and change the game in some ways. I thought he was our brightest spark, certainly going forward. Just to be involved in that sense and kind of help us get back into the side. He missed his penalty, didn't he? Yeah. Am I getting this right before I go off on it? Yeah.
Jamaica earlier in the season as well.
Did he? So yeah. Almost like a word for him that, you know, previously this would have been, that was a bad moment where he missed that, but we've gone on to win anyway. So, you know, it's a shame for him, but ultimately we've done okay. But it was thanks to him in part that we even got ourselves back into that anyway. So the fact he's missed it, shouldn't be any, well, we've won anyway, you know what I mean? So there shouldn't be any way, but shouldn't be any pile on or anti-bail. Oh, if he'd have scored that, it'd have been much less tense, whatever. It's thanks to him that we got back into the game in that position anyway. So kind of negativity on our part for that.
Difference. He's come on and he just puts the frighteners at people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, realistically, yes, he's missed his penalty, but I mean, Dougie should have scored the follow-up from Bailey's shot. Really,
he realised
how much time he'd got. He could have chested that down and bashed it into the net.
Yeah, he should have done better with that.
You know, he more than played his part. I think, you know, Cash scored his goal and he had a good shot as well before that. I thought he had a really mixed game, Cash. I think but hear me out on this one, people in the comments. I think he looked rusty when he started off, which is understandable. And I think he looked really exposed. He seemed to be on his own a lot on that right side, which would make sense because they seem to be focusing most of their attacks down our left, presumably to pin Dean your back so that he couldn't get forward and put balls over. So he just seemed like he was having a really tough time of it at times. And then at other times, you know, he was really putting himself in the right position, getting in the way of the ball. I think attacking, he probably looked as positive as I've seen him in quite a while. I think, especially
I think that's fair.
Half, it felt like perhaps Emery had said to them at half time, well, if they're going to keep piling on Luca, just let's have him stay back and Cash, you get forward and we'll get somebody out there to support you a bit.
Yeah. Overall, I thought he had a poor game, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt and put that down to rustiness that he's obviously only just come back from injury. He's not the best player in the world. He's not the best player in this squad. He's been mostly reliable, and I like him, but I can see why people will call for him to be replaced in the summer and all those kind of things. That's not a conversation we're going to be getting into now. But even before he scored the goal, I think our first proper shot on target was the 80th minute or something stupid. Yeah. He'd had a chance in the first half, I think, where he's actually offside. He's had that effort from long range towards the end of the game as well. And then he obviously goes on to score the goal and gets us back into it. Also scores his penalty. So it's actually a poor game. Fair play to him. He scored the goal and he's put his penalty away. Like when we did our list of five, Matty Cash was nowhere near. I wasn't even sure he'd be playing. So for him to step up in a moment where not many people would ever put him down to even be taking a penalty, as much as he's got a decent shot on him, I think there's five better penalty takers in the squad that would come before him. So for him to do that is, fair play to him.
That penalty, I don't think there is because he absolutely buried it.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, it was great. I think so much of tonight, you know, you can look at the actual performance and the statistics and whatever else, but so much of it tonight showed the mentality of this Aston Villa team. And that's the really encouraging thing was, yet again, with just a few minutes to go, we are not beaten. We're not done. You know, and you can go back a couple of weeks. We might be knackered. We might be out on our feet a little bit, but look at the Brentford game. This team doesn't know when it's beat, and that's a really good habit to have.
Yeah,
especially when you're tired and you're making mistakes and you're not on your A game, to keep believing and for a right back to pop up and score the goal with 3 minutes to go as well shows that, you know, we can play that adventurous football. And I genuinely believe that Emery's approach is so meticulous that he will be managing every 10-minute section of every game in terms of making the most of their energy and whatever else is, you know, it really will be. I think we're playing in the way that he wants us to be playing to make sure that we can win this competition and finish in the top four.
Yeah, we've had so many conversations about top four or Conference League. And I've always said that the cop out answer is both. I genuinely believe that that's doable. I really, really do. Now, middle of April, semi-final, fourth is in our hands. Keep winning games and you'll do both. It is literally as simple as that. The comment here to end on very quickly from Simon says, how are you guys so calm? That was unreal. We've been filming for half an hour. Like, if we're just here shouting and buzzing, it doesn't matter if we're great listening. So we've tried to kind of tone it down a bit, but we are absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah,
with excitement, really. But yeah, you've got to have a bit of a bit of composure for a podcast.
This is not and will never be Arsenal fan TV. So
I've got a video unexpected of me of my wife now who was filming me through the penalty shootout in stages and at the end. Again, there seemed to be some, I know you got to go in a sec, there seemed to be some kind of confusion about whether that was the decisive save or not. It seemed to be a bit like, is the one more or not from the commentators? So I'd like celebrated the save, obviously. And I heard that, it might not be over yet. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Hold on a minute. Like, I was going through it during that moment. Like, I can't imagine what it's been like to be up in that away. And this evening, it must have been absolute hell, but so much euphoria as well at the end. So,
being there for a penalty shootout is horrible. I was saying that I look borderline morose. I'm exhausted. I saved both them penalties, never mind about Emi Martinez. I'm genuinely like, my wife's laughing at me. I'm sat there, my hands are shaking, and just I was all over the place.
Do you want to end this with Martinez's little dance to the Lille fans and a little shush to the comments?
I probably won't end it with a dance, but I think I'll end it with some happy words that like I said during the podcast, we've just got to just embrace this, get used to it, because there's going to be plenty more of these. There's going to be plenty of drab away performances in Europe that see us scraping through and whatever else, but that's what it's all about, just winning games, winning trophies. And we've got a manager that's a serial winner. We've got a bunch of players that are being trained to be serial winners, are being supplemented with serial winners. And as a fan base, we've got to start acting like it as well.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, mate. We'll call it a day there. Thank you, Rob, for joining me this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks everyone for choosing our podcast to watch/listen to this evening. I'm aware that there are a lot of great Villa podcasts out there for you to spend half an hour with us straight after that is very much appreciated. We're in a European Cup semi-final in a couple of weeks. Can you believe it? We are fourth in the Premier League with all to play for. Rob is buzzing with that, as am I. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again very soon. Come on!